But so we are going to talk something, a sport we don't talk about very often, the world of BMX. But Logan Martin is not just a BMX rider. He's an Olympic gold medalist and a world champion as well. He's got a new book out, Journey to Gold. I want to find out more about it, written with our very own Scotty Gullen. He's on the line. Logan, good morning.
Good morning. How you guys going?
We are very, very well, mate. Your story is fabulous. It's fascinating. But writing books is a different caper altogether. What's more difficult, winning gold medals or writing books?
I mean, there's definitely a lot more involved in a longer process in winning gold medals. but no, it was definitely a lot different to anything I've ever done. Definitely embraced the opportunity, and yeah, I was definitely stoked to do it.
So it's a really interesting story, and the backstory is even more interesting, I reckon, from where you grew up and how you got to this point. Tell us about why you wanted to write a book.
I think it was just a good time to do it. Thanks for that. It was just a good time to do it. I think telling my story, where I came from, how I grew up, and then sort of the mindset I had to create to get to the top of my sport and also stay at the top of the sport for a long time is pretty interesting. And I just wanted to tell that story. I thought it was pretty fascinating to tell.
How does a boy from Logan City in Queensland find himself in the world of BMX?
So I just moved close to a skate park, pretty much. It was very easy. Just started going down to the skate park. It was a hangout spot, and then it just turned into a big passion, and I just stuck with it.
How quickly did it take for you to realize, hey, I'm actually pretty good at this?
So I started when I was 12. And then by the time I was about 16, I started to realize, like, maybe I could, get to the professional level. I started doing a lot of tricks that the professionals were doing at the time when I was only 16 or so. From there, I sort of started to really, really focus in and then go for it, you know.
What's the biggest injury you've had, or the scariest moment you've had on your bike, or potentially on your bike, but then off your bike?
I mean, I've definitely broken bones and done ligaments and ankles and things like that. Probably one of the scariest ones, like looking back, is a big concussion that I got. I just, I don't remember much of the day, but it's very, very bad head injury. And it's just, it's just those things are scary. Looking back on it, it can just happen out of nowhere. It's obviously very, very dangerous and can definitely cause long-term effects. So, a couple of bad concussions over the time.
So interested in that, Logan, from a psychological point of view more than anything else, is how do you get back on the bike? I know that's a bit of a saying, but how do you get back on when you've had these big crashes, to have the confidence to land the tricks, to land the jumps, knowing what could go wrong and knowing that it had gone wrong previously?
Yeah, I think it's just not thinking about what has gone wrong previously, or what could go wrong. It's thinking about the positives in it. What could go right, and how good it's going to feel if you land it, or like when you land it. And I think for me, it's never turned me away from, crashing or having that injury. It's never turned me away from doing something again. You become aware of, what can go wrong and whether or not you're capable of landing a trick. So It's just understanding your own ability and realizing that it can happen, but understanding also that it can go wrong. But the rewards outweigh the risk.
Is that why you had to go and collect all these mattresses through the journey, just so you could do all these tricks and not kill yourself?
Yeah, that's right. So it just increases the safety a little bit there. We used to collect the mattresses, take them down to the local concrete skate park, and we'd practice new tricks onto the mattresses. It was our only way to make things a little bit safer.
So, how did you get it? Was it a trailer situation? Because you'd go and pinch heaps of mattresses. Not pinch, they were on the side of the road getting ready to be cleared. But how did you get them and move them around?
So my dad would usually come drive us around to, in Logan City, there's a thing called curbside pickup. So I'm not sure how popular it is, but people would put their mattresses out, like their old mattresses out on the street. And then my dad would drive around, and we'd go with him and pick up the mattresses on the back of his ute. And then we'd take him down to the skate park, and then over the weekend we'd be riding, landing on the mattresses and learning new tricks, and then we'd go to school the next week, the Monday or the Tuesday or whatever, and then we'd go back to the skate park, and then the council had taken the mattresses away and you know, got rid of them, so we'd have to do it again in a few weeks' time or whatever, and go collect more mattresses.
Fantastic. Because it's a pretty dangerous place, Logan City is. I mean, the Brisbane statistics are the fifth most dangerous city in the nation, I think it is. It's a pretty dangerous place. Was that why you sort of did it, to get out of trouble and keep yourself away from any bad business?
In a sense, but I mean, Logan City isn't a very nice place. There's lots of crime, lots of drugs and things like that. But also, a lot of that stuff happened down at the skate park, so it wasn't really a way of getting away from it. But it sort of, for me, it was something that I could focus in on, and the friends I was hanging out with and stuff like that weren't involved in that sort of stuff. So it was just, if we stuck to ourselves and did our thing, then it was, we were pretty much in the clear, and it was all good.
So did you see it as a way out? If you get good at this, that you'd be able to get out?
Yeah, in a sense, for sure. I think, like, in the book, I touch on, having something inside me that believed that I, could have done something good in my life, not just go down the normal path. And, that was definitely my way out. And I realized I was good at something, and I really just focused in and worked towards that. And that was sort of, where I wanted to lead. And, believe that I had something bigger in me when I was younger.
Well, that makes a bit of sense, because aren't you sort of one of the athletes that have been credited with making BMX riding a bit more professional and not just the big party sort of tour that it used to be? It's actually a full on sport and really professional. Are you responsible for that?
Somewhat, I believe. I've been doing it professionally since 2013, and sort of when I come onto the scene, it was a big party. Everyone would go travel the world riding events, but then they'd party the night before the event and things like that. And I was, as soon as I started competing or when I was looking at competing internationally, I started going to the gym, I started eating healthy and, like, not partying, not drinking, any of that stuff, really just focusing on, the things that an athlete should do. And then over those years, 2013, 14, 15, you'd start to notice, like, because I was starting to win events, you'd start to notice other people would start going to the gym, and then they'd start eating healthy, and they'd start partying more. And so I believe I had some sort of input into helping the sport become more professional.
Where do you keep your gold medal, Logan?
It's in a frame in the living room on the wall.
Very. Do you have to pinch yourself at times when you do walk past and you see it up there as to what you've been able to achieve?
Yeah, for sure. It is good. Good reflection having it on the wall there. It blows my mind every day knowing that I put so much time and so much effort into making it happen, and then now to see that gold medal on my wall is definitely a pinch myself moment all the time.
Was it what level of frustration was there? So BMX is in the Olympics 2020. It's going to be fantastic, and all of a sudden the games are postponed. How did that sit with you?
Yeah, it was a little strange, to be honest. I wasn't, I was a little confused at the time, because I hadn't, I had always been competing and traveling. Like, I travel, at least once a month every year, and to have every event cancelled in 2020, it was just strange for me. I was deep in training. I was getting ready to go to an event, and then, the event got cancelled, and then all the other events got cancelled, and I was unsure whether I keep training hard for the next year, just in case something popped up, or, like, COVID suddenly disappeared. Mm. So for about 4 or 5 days there, I was very, very lost and a bit confused whether I keep training hard or I just chill out a little bit and have a bit of a break. But after that week or so of confusion, I was pretty much back into the swing of things and just trying to find enjoyment in it and not put too much pressure on myself and just learn and sort of adapt in that time as well. So, it was a little bit of confusion, but I ended up making it fun.
And out of 10, what would you rate the experience of writing a book with Scott Gullen? He's one of our mates, by the way.
I'll say 11 out of 10. He was great to work with. He was a great guy, easy to work with, and yeah, I mean, I would definitely recommend it, and I would do it again.
Well played. Well played. Well, looking forward to reading, getting my hands on it, reading it. Journey to Gold, it is the name of the book for Logan Martin. It's a great story, well told by our good man, Scotty Garland, as well. We appreciate your time this morning, Logan. What's next, just by the way?
I have a world championship coming up in November.
All right. Well, we'll be all over that. We'll be following your
start of the Olympic qualifying period. So, yeah.
We'll follow the progress and get back in touch with you if we can. We appreciate the time. Good luck.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.